Praise the Lord. Well, I feel the Spirit of the Lord at work in this place. We're going to talk about Him. I've always got a little trembling in my heart when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some people have made this frivolous and light and flippant, but I believe we ought to have all reverence and respect when we speak of our God. Amen. We're not sour. We're not sad. We're reverent. Amen. And on this Wednesday night, I have felt, I prayed throughout the summer that we needed to focus on our distinctives, who we are. We've got our young people specially ready to help us. They've been through this a couple of times and in the basic what we're covering. And they know when to say amen and oh me and move on. They know all those things, and so they're going to be helping us tonight. But what we're talking about, we'll just go until our time's up, and we'll be doing this for several Wednesday nights, and we're going to talk about some important things. I'm going to try to answer some questions. But what I'm talking about, and I'm going to probably end here, but in case I forget, we need teaching. We need teaching of doctrine. But the best way to get this isn't just from the teaching of the doctrine. It's from the modeling of what we believe. The best way for folks who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get it is to see folks that have already received the Spirit praying in the altars till they're praying through and speaking in tongues again and again and again in the altars. Amen. To see it, the example. I'm not talking about putting on the example. I'm talking about the reality of that. And I hope that our hearts are encouraged to seek a, if we have already received the baptism, to seek a refilling of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Who are we? What makes us different? What is our identity? What do we believe? Help me, young people. We are. Okay, now that sounded like you just got up for school in the morning. Okay, let's try that again. Help me, young people. We are. Amen. I want to quickly review. We're monotheistic, Christian, Protestant, Evangelical, Classical, Pentecostal. That's how far we've come so far. But in quick review, being monotheistic, we believe in one God who is personal and not impersonal. Aren't you glad you don't have about 15 idols you got to make sure you get the offering to and food to and money to? Idols you had to buy to start with from the local idol shop. We're Christian. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What was you just singing, young people? Jesus is our God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh, and salvation is through Him. Now listen, the church plays an important role. But salvation is not through the church. Salvation is through Christ, Christian. We are Protestant. We believe that salvation is not through a church, its representatives, its rituals, its rules, its liturgy. Salvation is through justification through faith. We are evangelical. We believe in a born-again personal experience in response to the gospel. If someone's having trouble living the Christian life, it could just be they've never been born again. If somebody finds church hard to come to, they find the commandments of God hard to keep, they don't like being around God's people, they don't like the Word of God, it could be they haven't been born again. Born again is something that happens to you. Praise the Lord. It's not just something you believe in your head. It's something that's happened in your heart. We're a classical Pentecost, and last time we began focusing on the Pentecostal part. Briefly, in review, what is a Pentecostal? It's one who believes that the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit, as found in the book of Acts, is for the church of every age, including today. God wants Union Pentecostal Church services to be like the worship services in the book of Acts. Amen? That's what he desires. Now, I want this to really be a part of us. Someone says to you in the street, what church you go to? Union Pentecostal Church. What was that? Union Pentecostal Church. Well, what's a Pentecostal? Oh, that means we get loud and we stand up, we sit down, we stand up, we sit down, and we stand up, and we have lots of food suppers. What other kind of supper would you have? But anyway, ice cream supper. No. You're Pentecostal. What's that? Well, have you ever read that book of Acts and seen where the Holy Spirit moved and people got saved and the Holy Spirit moved and people got healed and the Holy Spirit moved and folks got delivered? We believe that still should be happening amongst God's people. That's what a Pentecostal is. Brother, you're going to have to help me. I'm going to lose my voice if you can just... Personally, though, to be a Pentecostal is to believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How did those things happen in the book of Acts, church? Nobody was healed. Nobody got saved. Nobody got delivered until the people of the church got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we believe it's a distinct experience subsequent to salvation and that it's available, I like this, to every born again believer. There are questions that always come up about Pentecost, and I'm going to seek to answer them. I won't answer all of them tonight, but these are questions that come up. The first one is simply this: what really is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, I could talk about the word baptism. I will in a little bit. The word baptized literally means to submerge. That's what it means. Okay? I could talk about the Holy Spirit, what each word means. We will another time. But to some, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if your background is Catholic, this may ring a bell here, but to some, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be anointed with holy anointing oil. That's what they believe. They read about the baptism of the Spirit in the Scripture, and they have a ritual where they anoint people with physical anointing oil and say that was the baptism. To others, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just part of getting saved. It's part of being born again. It's part of the salvation experience. To others, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was just something that happened on the birthday of the church, the birth of the church. It hasn't happened since. It only happened when the church was being birthed in history. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let me answer this way from Scripture. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience promised by the Father. And I'm really trying not to take off on all these and just move through it. But we got to keep in mind, it was the Father that promised we could have this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's the promise. The promise of the Father is that Jesus will baptize people in the Holy Ghost. You know, when John preached the coming of Jesus, he preached this as something that ought to cause people to be struck with wonder and desire. He said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I've been baptizing you with water, but when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And he meant people to be wowed by that. Well, I think that 2,000 years later, we should still be wowed by the fact that the Father has promised that Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Ghost. It's not only the promise of the Father, it's an experience sent personally by Jesus. Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching, Jesus, God raised him up. You've witnessed that. We've witnessed that. Therefore, when he got to heaven, he ascended to the Father. When he got to the right hand of God, exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. I got to resist this tonight. I'd like to just preach about that word, shed forth, poured out. It just reeks with impact. Hallelujah. It reeks with abundance. Reeks not a good word. It's just full of the sense of abundance. He poured out this which you now see and hear. Who poured it out? Who poured it out? Jesus. It's an experience sent by Jesus. It's an experience of receiving power from on high. It's an emotional time, but it's far more than emotion. It's far more than a good feeling. It's a power from God. Jesus said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed with power from on high. You know, we're going to use all these words, filled and baptized and endued, which means to be clothed. But the sense is it just gets all over you and gets all in you. That's what we need. We need more than just a little splatter, you know, from sitting in the spray zone. We need to get all over us, get all in us, move all through us. Hallelujah. Oh, I've seen it happen. I believe God wants to do it. Have you ever seen someone under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen. You won't find it on your phone right now, but if you'll listen and seek God, you can have it. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Think of what he said. He said it to us. Ye shall receive power. Where from? The Holy Ghost. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's an experience subsequent. That's what all these verses taught us. It's subsequent to salvation. It occurs when a Christian, believing the gift of the Holy Spirit, surrenders himself to being possessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to move on and not just get to preaching. But people today everywhere are under all kinds of influences. They're under the influence of chemicals and drugs and alcohol. They're under the influence of addictions from the internet. All kinds of addictions. Under the influence, but I'm telling you, we can be possessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about this just briefly. Brother Keith's already helped me out. But sometimes the Scripture speaks of this experience as being baptized in the Spirit, and sometimes Scripture speaks of it as being filled with the Spirit, and sometimes endued with the Spirit. So which is it? Well, the picture of baptize is when you are put into the Spirit. You want to help me, Noah? You're the one that's going to have the experience. When it says baptize, Noah is taken and he is like, I would put him into the baptism tank. He's put in. He's submerged. Remember, you watched me baptize people in water? He is submerged in the Holy Spirit. That's the same right there. That's baptized. The other figure is when the Spirit is put into you. Remember Sunday night we had the cups and I poured the water from the pitcher into the cup? So which is it? Is Noah put into the Spirit or is the Spirit put into Noah? Which is it? Is it baptized or filled? It's both. I mean, it's hard to find words to describe this experience God gives. And so at times they talked about being put in, baptized in the Spirit, and other times they talked about being filled or the Spirit put into them. You know what? Thank you. That brings a picture to my mind. You watch a little kid play in the bathtub. You've seen this many times, but if you take a bottle, an empty vessel, and you put it in the water and submerge it, you baptize that bottle. If you hold it underwater and it's truly empty, it's going to go. And what you have put into it goes into it. You baptized it when you put it underwater, but baptizing it, it becomes filled. I'm telling you, that's the way it happened. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled that gathering place. He came from heaven. every one of those 120 were submerged in the Holy Spirit. And then that which submerged them began to fill them. I'm telling you, I like being Pentecostal because I have been there when God began to take the whole congregation and just submerge them in His presence. They would begin to worship and sing, and you could feel the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, just all over the people, all around the people. They are submerged. They are baptized. And then if they'll open up their heart by faith, that which God has put them into begins to get into them, and they fill up with the Spirit. That's why when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move in a servant, just think of that as Him taking the congregation and just plunging them, Brother Keith, plunging them underneath, submerging them in His presence. And when you begin to feel Him move that way, it's time to take the lid off, amen, and just open up your heart and your mind and your life by faith and let that presence is here so real just fill you up. There's other pictures too we won't deal with tonight, but once you get filled up, Jesus then said what has He put in you is going to start coming out, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, hallelujah. Ever seen the running river move the old water wheel? I kind of feel that's what tongues is. He's filled you up, and the rivers begin to flow from your innermost being, and on the way out, they take control, and you begin to speak with other tongues. It's not so much that the person has the Holy Spirit, it's that the Holy Spirit has the person. I'm not trying to just have semantics here and a trick of words. I really believe it. Sometimes, you know, we Pentecostals get to ask, do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? And I understand. I totally understand what is meant. But this experience isn't so much about me getting the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit getting me and me letting the Holy Spirit get me. And me saying to the Holy Spirit, take my mind, take my heart, take my will, take my emotions, take every part of my life and my thinking and my every, I just take all of me, Holy Spirit. Fill every room, every corner, every part of my being. Is it important that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, it was expected by the apostles. The apostles expected those new converts in the book of Acts. They just expected them to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And by the way, that's what the apostles themselves expected. You know, I've always marveled at this. Jesus never said anything about tongues. And when the apostles gathered at the command of Christ to begin to seek and tarry for the promise of the Father, they never even began to imagine that when He filled them, they would speak with tongues. They didn't even know what to expect. All they knew is they should expect the coming of the Spirit. They didn't know what was going to happen when it happened. It was the norm for New Testament Christians. I've given this challenge before, but you know, just look at the New Testament and see if you can find a church or a person that didn't believe in this baptism of the Spirit. We have lots that today don't believe it. But in the New Testament time, every church was a Pentecostal church. Every believer was a Pentecostal. It was commanded by the Apostle Paul. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. So much of the time we leave the baptism of the Holy Spirit to a one event thing. But when Paul said, be filled with the Spirit, the language is literally be filled and keep on being filled with the Spirit. Is it important? It was promised by the Father. Is it important? Its necessity is illustrated by the very life of Jesus. Now, I know Jesus was God, but He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was found in the likeness of a man. In other words, though He was God, He was also man, and He lived this life. He ministered as you and I live and minister, as a human. But the necessity of the Holy Spirit is illustrated by Jesus' very life. We'll talk about that at another moment here. How does one receive the baptism of the Spirit? First of all, by repenting unto salvation. We covered this Sunday night, but only saved people get filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, that's in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or because of the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Save people. Way back in the Old Testament on those priests, I'm not going to get into it tonight except to say this. When they were initiated as priests for ministry and worship in the tabernacle, first they put the blood on that priest, on his thumb, on his head, feet, put the blood. And when they got through putting the blood on, then they put the oil on top of the blood. And when they got the oil on top of the blood, then they took what was left, just poured it on his head. But the lesson is the oil can only be applied on the blood. The only people that can have the oil of the Spirit are those whose hearts have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. How do you receive it? Believe it's for you. Listen to what Paul said. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, did you get the Holy Spirit because you went through a regimen and a list of works? No. You received the Holy Spirit by believing God. It was an act of faith. How do you receive the baptism? By doing whatever he asks. Acts chapter 5, we covered this last Sunday or two Sundays ago. We are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The Holy Spirit's given to folks that obey him. Now, you know, some people have made this a mystical thing. They're praying for the Holy Ghost, and God says, okay, leave tomorrow and get online and find the cheapest ticket you can get to China and go to China, and then I'll give you the Holy Ghost. First of all, what it meant by obey him by believing the gospel. Obey him by surrendering your life to Christ. Obey him by repenting of your sins. But on a very specific, practical level, sometimes God does talk to us when we're seeking for the baptism. You might have said, well, I'll tell you what, there may be something to that baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to do like some folks. I'm not going to go up front and stand right up in front of everybody and lift my hands in the air and weep and cry and holler, praise the Lord and hallelujah. I won't do that. If he wants to feel me, he can do it right here back in the pew. I'll just sit here and fold my arms because I ain't going to go up there and lift my hands and act like that. Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Well, don't you just go up front and let people pray for you and just go up there and stand, lift your hands in the air and open up your heart and just begin to praise me. I ain't going to do that. That's embarrassing. What if you just obey him? What if you just obey God? By the way, just think of what a service would be. Every service, if God's people just said, I'm just going to obey the Spirit of the Lord tonight. Amen. Do whatever he asks. You know, the mother of Jesus gave some wonderful instructions. You know, when they ran out of wine, you know what she said to the servants of her son, Jesus? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's when the water got turned to wine. How does one receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have your heart cleansed by the blood. Seek Jesus the baptizer, not the Spirit. We've talked about the history of Pentecost. They never obsessed on the Spirit. They obsessed, if that's a good word to use here, on Jesus. If you're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, worship Jesus, your Savior. Thank Jesus for all that he's done for you. Focus on Jesus. Praise Jesus instead of worrying about tongues. Some people don't get the baptism because they're worried about the tongues. Now remember what I've already shared with you. On the day of Pentecost, they didn't even know to expect tongues. They just were seeking to be filled with the Spirit. And I think it's still good instruction. If you need baptized or filled or refilled the Spirit, don't worry about those tongues. That'll happen. Just seek His promise. Fill me with Your Spirit. Obey what He tells you. How do you know when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Tongues. We may have another time with just tongues because there's a lot of questions about that. But notice what it says in Scripture. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what happened. When they were filled. You can't understand that in any other way. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now again, we don't obsess with tongues. You know you got the Holy Spirit when you speak with tongues, but you got so much more than tongues. Tongues is a sign you got the Holy Spirit. Tongues isn't the sign you got tongues. Tongues is the sign you have been filled. You've got the Holy Spirit. Or could I say that the Holy Spirit got you finally? Now there are other things besides tongues that come. Things much more important than tongues. But tongues announce that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come and is going to bring those other important things with Him. I'm going to try this. I haven't done this before. Tongues is in a sense like someone ringing your doorbell. If someone's ringing your, or if your doorbell is being rung, you know somebody has come. Right? But ringing the doorbell may let you know the guest has arrived, but he's come to do more than just ring your doorbell. And tongues let us know that our heavenly guest has arrived. But he's come more than just to enable us to speak in tongues. He's come more than just to give us that shout of victory and joy that's so wonderful. He's come to produce His fruit of love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and long-suffering and temperance and meekness. Amen. He's come to give us a power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He's come to make our life count for more than just selfish reasons. Later we'll learn that tongues do serve other purposes besides just a sign that the Holy Spirit has filled the believer. There are other purposes of tongues, primarily in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to say one more time, Jesus expected His church to be Pentecostal. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the kind of church Jesus expects His church to be. In My name, they will cast out devils. I'm telling you, people are more bound than they have ever been bound. And I know there's little literal devils, but there's also the devils of drink and the devils of pornography and the devils of alcohol and the devils of bitterness. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit gets to moving, people get freed from those type of things. They can sit through good doctrine and good singing that's been practiced and learned, and it'll never help them. But get in a Holy Spirit church where folks are letting, not just people on the platform, but the church is letting the Holy Spirit move through them. And suddenly, the devils are cast out. They shall speak with new tongues. And again, the understanding here isn't you just go in church and everyone's speaking in tongues. That's not the point. The point simply means they will be folks who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes with it. They shall take up serpents. That doesn't mean we're going to bring wooden crates with wire mesh out on Sunday and start pulling the snakes out. That's not what it means. But it means that when dangerous times come and when things come against the church, there is a healing protection from the Lord, just like Paul when he built the fire and that viper came out of the fire. He was trying to do a good work, a good deed. Here comes this viper out of the wood and latches on, and every native there, national there, looked around expecting him to kill over dead because of the venom of that snake. Amen. But Paul had something more powerful than a venom of the snake in his body. He had the power of the Holy Ghost, which was greater than the venom of the snake. Now I want to tell you, there's a lot of snakes out in our world that would like to get their fangs in you as a believer and pump their poison and pump their corruption and pump their vileness in you. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you can have a power in you that's greater than the venom of the snake. Drink any deadly thing. People coming against the church, they didn't drink it on purpose. Someone's trying to kill them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You say, Pastor, not everybody we pray for gets healed. No, not everybody we preach to gets saved either. But some we preach to do get saved. And some we lay hands on do get healed. So let's keep preaching. Let's keep laying hands on. Let's put it in God's department, not our department. We can't heal him anyway. He's the one that does the healing. All we can do is obey and lay the hands on. We can't save anybody anyway. All we can do is obey and preach the gospel. Amen. But I'm just telling you, in the book of Acts, things started happening when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. It'll still happen that way when the church gets filled. And the church can only get filled when the individuals in it get filled. And when the church gets filled with the Holy Ghost, things will start happening. The kingdom will advance. The backslider will get saved. The light will shine. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to quit right now. I got a lot more, but I'm going to quit. Anyone recognize that? We're not going to start teaching how to talk in tongues. Rosetta Stone, Chinese. I want to tell you, in America, we have more resources available to learn Chinese than any place in the world. We have computer software. We have special tutors. We have colleges everywhere that offer it. There's books at the library. We could go on and on. We have resource after resource to learn Chinese. And hardly any, I know there's a few, but hardly any Americans are learning Chinese in spite of all the resources. You go to China, you'll be hard-pressed to find the computer software. You'll be hard-pressed to find a library where you can check out a book that says, learn English. Very few classes and tutors available to learn English. And everywhere in China, people are learning English. They don't have any resources. We have them all. We're not learning Chinese. They're learning English. You want to know why? They see the prophet in learning English. And we don't see the prophet and learning Chinese. All the resources in the world don't matter if the desire is not there. We have more teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit than we've ever had. We've got more resources. We handed out a pamphlet last Wednesday night available. We've got more resources in preaching and singing. We've got internet clips of Pentecostal preaching and instruction. We can talk about the history of Pentecost. We can watch the DVD on it. I mean, the resources are everywhere about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we'll still not have it until we see the need of it. And then you take somewhere on little band of people somewhere out in the corners, the perimeters of this gospel, of this earth. Preacher only comes through every once in a while. They don't even have electric to hook up to the internet. They don't have any pamphlet to hand out how to receive the baptism. But they start reading about it in the book of Acts, and they get so hungry because they see that they need it. See, that's where it all begins. You know, it's not just simply to say, oh, this is such a wonderful experience. But when we begin to see, both as an individual and as a church, how much we need the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when we'll start getting it. Hallelujah. Oh, I need him, don't you? Would you come, music? How many needs the Holy Spirit? He's the advocate. He's the helper. Hallelujah. He's the one that does it. Let's stand. Let's just ask him. And why don't you, as you lift your hand, say, Holy Spirit, if you'll come, I'll obey. Amen. I'll just do it. Hallelujah. If you've been cleansed in the blood, if you've been washed, amen, would you lift your heart to heaven and say, oh, Lord, fill me, fill our church with coursing, with the moving, with the stirring, with the enablement, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I need him. I need this man. baptism. I need this infilling. I need to be filled with your Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It can happen on a Wednesday evening. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you need him tonight? Would you come and fill this altar? Say, Lord, fill us as individuals. Fill us as a church. We need the power. I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me, refreshing, refilling. Hallelujah. I need your Spirit, Lord. I need your Spirit, Lord. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I need your Spirit. I need him on a Wednesday night. I need him for Thursday morning. I need the power of your Spirit at work in my life. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, oh Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Oh, he'll put the Spirit upon the blood. Hallelujah. 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 Flow through me, Holy Spirit. I open up my heart. I open up my life. I open up my mind. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Won't you just open up your heart to him tonight? I need your Spirit.
Sweet heavenly dove.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Stay right here with us.
I see my need, Lord. I see, feel me.
Filling us with
refill
your
me.
Love.
Refill me with your Spirit. Of the Father.
We lift our hearts in praise without a doubt.
We'll refill me, Lord, with your Spirit.
We have been revived.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit.
We shall
I open up my heart. I open up my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.